I use my voice for.
I use my voice for change.
Hello from the Equality Lounge at CES. It's January 2020, and we're on location in sunny Las Vegas with our incredible partner, Spotify, capturing the stories of female entrepreneurs, executives, inventors, and changemakers. I'm your host for this series, Nell Daly. I'm the Chief Content Officer of the Female Quotient. If you're new to this show, I encourage you to go back and listen to episode one. That will set you up nicely for what this show is all about. We're giving you lots of what we call over here at the FQ equality hacks, which are inspiring anecdotes told by working women for women. For the fourth episode in this series, we interviewed Mara Madeline, who is the CEO of Vector, a VR company. She talked in part about using silence as a way to magnify your voice, which I thought was super interesting. And I'm so excited for the fifth episode, which is an interview with a woman named Jamie Garcia. Given the rates of girls staying engaged in STEAM programs across the United States, Jamie is a massive success story. But I'm going to let her tell you why.
My name is Jamie Garcia. I'm a senior manager at IBM Research for Quantum Applications Theory and Algorithms. I grew up in Seattle. I got my PhD in Boston in chemistry. Came to IBM Research in 2012 as a postdoc, starting working on materials and materials science, and then moved to New York for a year, did a year of basically working with our COO of IBM Research there, got a really cool 10,000-foot viewpoint, met some people working on quantum computing. They totally inspired me and blew my mind that we could work in, you know, chemistry and do problems in chemistry with quantum computers. So I started managing a group in that area, and that was about a year and a half ago now.
How's it going?
Oh, it's awesome. It's so fun.
Like, you can't believe your life.
I actually can't believe my life that I get to do this on a daily basis.
And get paid for it.
And get paid for it, and enjoy the people I work with, and get to work with as many brilliant researchers as we have.
So would you say, for the rest of us listening, that it has been a male-dominated field?
So I guess at IBM, we have a lot of women that I actually work with. And so I get a little bit maybe less of that and spoiled that way because we have so many brilliant women that I interact with on a daily basis in quantum. I don't know that that is typical though, but it just happens to be at IBM, we have a lot of women there that are working alongside our male counterparts.
So finding your voice professionally, can you tell me a little bit about that journey?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. For me, it was never like a straight line. Like I never like looked ahead and said like, this is what I wanted to do necessarily, and I'm just gonna like check the boxes and get to that point. So like, for example, I got my PhD in chemistry, but I never took a chemistry class until I was an undergraduate in college. And it was, I think at that moment, that was the first time I had actually taken a class that really inspired me and got me excited and interested in learning more about nature and the universe and wanting to just understand more science, right? So I knew that that was like a hit and that was something I needed to pursue.
Can I stop you for a second?
Sure.
Was that because when you were growing up or where you were growing up, science wasn't necessarily pushed or for girls, were they sort of left more out of that kind of conversation, or did you just not happen to fall in love with the sciences at an earlier age?
Yeah, so my mom is a lawyer, my dad was a math teacher, and so I had some exposure to math and sciences growing up. And even in high school, like I took physics classes and math classes, and it was great. Right? I enjoyed them. But it didn't like resonate in the same way that chemistry, and in particular organic chemistry, did for me. It was so spatial, it was so interesting, it felt so relevant. You know, materials are made out of chemicals, like drugs. Like, so I saw a lot of things that I think could impact the world and like benefit from actually exploring that and starting to do work in that space. And so I think for me, it was a matter of following my nose. So like once I found that and once I got into it and excited about it, then I just started exploring like different ways that I could use the skills that I had gained, you know, and the education that I had gotten and apply it to really important problems.
So then going back to your voice and developing it professionally, you take this class in college, it changes your life, it changes your trajectory, and then how did that change how you were speaking to yourself, how you spoke to the world, what you wanted to speak about?
I think that in that moment, when after I had taken the class, after I had started seeing the potential, right, of like being able to address some of the world's most pressing problems, that is where things kind of switched. So I now had a focus, I now had something that I was driving for. Again, the path was not like necessarily super straight or linear, but it gave me more of an understanding of like what I wanted my purpose to be as a scientist and what kinds of problems that I wanted to continue to explore.
So fascinating. So what would you tell your younger self now?
I think, you know, exploring as much as you can early on, right? Like, and getting as much exposure to different subjects and things as early as possible. But quite honestly, I mean, just because I didn't find chemistry until later in life, you know, that isn't something that I felt like helped me back at all. In fact, it just helped me have a little bit more of a worldview for, you know, and kind of got me ready for like when that came down the pike and so I could recognize it when it came.
Mm-hmm. What too reminds me of it, if you're a curious person, then it's nice when these things hit later in some ways, because it's this new thing that you get to discover as someone who is maturing, right? And it won't be the last big thing in your life that's going to hit.
Yeah.
You know, God willing, that you'll have something else come in that you're like, wow, that's super fascinating, and I'm going to go down that path, especially if you have an academic background and you're built of that sort of stock of wanting to constantly explore your surroundings in the world and different subject matter.
Yep. And I think my PhD too, really what we developed, and I only realized this later on, is that what they were teaching us to do is how to find answers to problems and answers to your questions, right? And so how do you leverage the resources, the networks that you have, the people around you, their intuition, their perspectives, to get something done that's bigger than something that you could just do yourself?
You've been listening to a podcast produced by the Female Quotient and powered by Spotify. For more information on our mission, please visit thefemalequotient.com or follow us on social at Female Quotient, that is FemaleQuotient on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. And we also wanted to mention that we're hosting the series on Anchor. So cool. Anchor is an amazing free podcast distribution platform. Stay tuned for more equality hacks from the Equality Lounge at CES.